Welcome to Spectrum, a daily public affairs presentation of WCSM. And now, here's Spectrum, the talk of Mercer and Auglaize County.
And we thank you so much for joining us here for Spectrum. I am your host, Kevin Sandler. Happy to welcome our guest from Everhart Hospice. She is their bereavement coordinator. Say hello again to you, Caitlin Bowling. Good to see you.
Hi, thank you so much. It's really good to see you.
Some of the things, you know, that we can talk about, I know you have, for example, a monthly grief support meeting, and I thought I'd give you a chance to talk about when it is and where and what that's about.
Yeah. So right now we're offering a grief support group that takes place in the afternoon. It's a little more curriculum-based, but it's also a closed group, which means that once it starts, it will be until those 8 weeks need to pass before anyone new is able to join that group. So we're actually starting an additional group to go hand in hand with that one. Not only is it once a month, not only is it an open group, but it also takes place in the evenings, which was some feedback I've gotten that would make it more accessible.
True, yeah. Sometimes you try to make these things fit into your life, even if you're retired, right?
You know,
you're busy in
definitely.
The daytime, so. Mm-hmm. Let's also talk about maybe, you know, what happens at a meeting. I know there's obviously going to be some talking and sharing, and some people right off the bat might be saying, I don't want to do that. And But you want them to come anyways, right? They don't have to.
Yeah, of course. One of the biggest things that I try to emphasize during our groups is the right to pass, which means if you want to be there to sit and observe and listen to others' experiences, you're more than welcome to. If anyone asks you a question or encourages you to share, you do not have to. You're more than welcome to pass and simply
listen
in the
space,
yes.
You might, and I can see where people would benefit from that. They don't want to say anything, but they'll hear what others have to say. And I would think for somebody that maybe this just happened to them, hearing something from somebody that might be a couple years away from, you know, a death and hearing where they are can maybe give them maybe a measuring stick, you know, of where you can get, what the meetings can do or even what the passage of time can do.
Of course. And while everyone's grief looks completely different, that's actually a really great example of something that I've been able to see in a group setting that I've noticed people really benefit from, is seeing maybe, like you had said, folks who are maybe a few years past the passing of a loved one, and they can really see maybe what the future could hold for them if they continue to try to work towards bettering themselves.
Yeah, but also probably don't look and say, well, I'm going to be just like that person.
Oh, of course,
that doesn't work. It's not one size, fits all. And so there you have it, those monthly grief support meetings. Let's remind people again of when they are, what time, and where, and all that, right?
Yeah, so those monthly grief support groups are going to take place the first Wednesday of every month, starting May 1st, and they're going to run from 5:30 to 7:30, that is the time that we have the area booked. It may not run the full 2 hours, but that will take place at Wayne Healthcare in Greenville, Ohio. That is the first floor community room right by the Harrison Street entrance.
All right. I like the 5:30. If people are coming to town, it doesn't start until 5:30 or it's done by 7:30.
Yes.
Come enjoy the meeting. A lot of places in Greenville, you can grab a bite to eat.
That's true, for sure. Yeah.
So, you make a night out of it if you have to. So, excellent. Another thing coming up too, is Camp Encourage. I know that this is only a rainy day in April, but we got to move ahead on the calendar so people don't miss it, right?
I've been talking with people, and I'm on two different ends of the spectrum in that I'm like, oh, gosh, it's already April. And then I also think, oh, well, it's only April. We've still got time. But, yes, in July we do have our Camp Encourage coming up, which is Everhart Hospice's Children's Day Camp for kids ages 6 to 15 who have experienced some kind of grief or loss in their life.
All right, and that's obviously that's a tender age, and probably by then some of the kids are starting to learn you know, a bit about how life can be rather unfair sometimes, or at least features some sad things, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they're, you know, any more, or in some cases less equipped to handle it than even we are, you know. It's just hard for them.
Yeah, we want our kids to be able to attend and be a part of group and be able to leave maybe with a few new skills that they can use to help regulate some of their emotions, some creative ways to get those emotions out, but also have this understanding and this idea of, I am not alone. There are other kids here. There are other kids out there who have gone through something similar to me.
All right, and that's something that, you know, it comes from, you know, people that have been there. I think we've all, you know, had where somebody's trying to work with us and we think, but you've never, you know, done this. And try as they may, you know, and some of them probably are quite experts in their field, but you just feel differently maybe with somebody, especially when you're a kid, to somebody that will say, yeah, well, this is what happened to me. Yeah. And you go, okay, how do you deal with it, you know?
Whether you're 1 year old or 100 years old, I think to myself, when working with people, I often tell them, you are the expert in your experience. You are the expert in your own grief, in that you are the one who understands what is going on physically, mentally, that I may not understand. And I may need someone to tell me that is what their experience is like.
Yeah, and I'm sure some of it also involves validating some feelings, you know, where somebody might say, what's wrong with me? It's been a year. Why am I still upset? And, you know, we explain to them that, you know, that is okay, right? Don't feel bad about that part, you know?
Mm-hmm. We unfortunately live in a very death-negative society, in that we often experience the passing of a loved one, and we attend any services that may be available, go to the funeral, and then we're expected to just perk right back up and go right back to work, right back to school, right back to life, and carry on.
And some people do as a matter of escape, but I've also found that when you try to do something like that, you might even have a good couple of months, but it catches up to you. You know, you can only run so much, you know?
Yes. I've also told people that we need to find healthy ways to get some of those emotions out, because when we have those emotions in us, they don't go anywhere. So if they continue to build and build and build, they may come out in some not so healthy or skillful ways.
Yeah, I would think, you know, from experience and friends talking about this, where they've lost a parent, like maybe their dad, and they're in mixed company, you know, and somebody, you know, complains about their dad or something like that. And boy, this person, well, they were up like a volcano, right? Like, you, at least you have a dad, you know, why would you complain, you know? And then maybe people aren't going, whoa, where did that come from? Well, we know where it came from, right?
Yes. And I want to take a moment to just also validate any of those kind of losses that folks may have experienced, whether it's parental loss or the loss of a spouse or partner or a child, a sibling, a friend, and even all of those losses are unique in their own way. And
Well, and I think also times have changed, where, you know, you might go to a funeral and tell your friend, you know, good luck, and you don't necessarily see them again, especially if it's someone you don't see that often. But these days, thanks to social media, some people are quite vocal, you know, where they will start to post about, this would have been our anniversary, or this was her birthday, or this was when we met, and you realize, oh, that, you know, this is painful for them. I mean, every day they're dealing with it.
And I think that makes it a little more present, that it makes folks a little more aware of some of those feelings versus having to go through that alone. And
some people probably don't feel they help when they look and there's 200 comments that are all like, sorry, I'm thinking of you. But I'm pretty sure the person appreciates every single one of those, that people do care or share their memories.
Even. Oh, of course. Yes. And honestly, never underestimate just being able to be there for someone. Sometimes we don't know exactly what to say for someone when a loved one of theirs passes away. Sometimes we don't know what to say, but just being able to say that I'm here for you, I know this is awful. True. But
and I think sometimes, you know, we have to think, okay, what are we afraid of? That we're going to say the wrong thing?
Yeah.
I don't think you can make them feel too much worse than they already do. Mm-hmm. You know, at least you're, like you said, you're there. Mm-hmm. You might have some memories, you know, to share, which they, you know, appreciate. And I think sometimes also, and as we're talking with Kate Mulling, bereavement coordinator for Ever Heart Hospice, you know, in your time in working with people, I imagine sometimes also the reaction of, you know, of a family or friend or whatever to a loss would differ quite a bit if it's someone who was older where you say, well, I'm going to miss them, mm-hmm. but that was a wonderful life versus somebody was younger. And there's some anger and bitterness, right? Resentment almost, right?
Yes. The circumstances of when a loved one passes away is a huge contributing factor to how that family processes through that grief. Just as you said, it's fairly often, actually, that, well, I work in hospice, and it's fairly often that we reach out to a family after they've had a loved one pass, and they say, oh, well, they lived a long, full, good life. I'm happy with all of this. I'm at peace with this. And then you have circumstances where someone may pass accidentally, like a sudden violent death, which is increasingly common.
or somebody that, you know, kind of made it into their 40s, but, you know, cancer got them or something. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, you know, when you kind of go to, you know, the reviewing or a funeral, you can see the difference between where people are telling stories, even laughing at what a great person this was versus they're muttering under their breath or anger, you know, mm-hmm. or, you know, that kind of stuff, and just furious about it because it's so unfair, you know?
And it is unfair. And there, like you said, there is an angerness, there is a bitterness. Oftentimes I'm able to see, just from how people describe what they're feeling, feelings of abandonment, that this person left them, and they shouldn't have left them, not now, not at this time. And it is fairly common for me to see people struggle with the why. Why did this happen? And unfortunately, when it comes to a lot of these situations, we may never know why. And a lot of that grieving process is trying to become comfortable with the idea that we'll never know why this happened.
Yeah, I can also see where if the person was younger, everybody around, I wish I was not speaking from experience, but I am, all of you around them suddenly realize, oh, yeah, we're not immortal, are we? This could happen to us, right? This person was our age, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And I was actually just speaking with someone earlier today, and they had mentioned, well, death is something that's going to happen to all of us, isn't it? And in the back of my mind, I'm like, yes, you're right. Maybe some of us sooner than others or in different ways, but you are right.
Yeah, that is, there's no question about that either, right? We just kind of think, well, it won't be today. Mm-hmm. You know, that's how you handle it. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back and talk about how you need some volunteers, which I know you do, as we continue Spectrum here on 96.7 The Wave. Don't go anywhere.
Family Talk with Straight Talk.
You give and you give. It's time to get with Straight Talk Wireless. You get a reliable 5G network and unlimited data, and you get to choose who joins your family plan starting as low as $25 a line.
Does it have to be family?
It can be family or people you like.
Get more lines and more savings. Switch to Straight Talk for family plans starting as low as $25 a line per month for 4 lines. Find us at Walmart and StraightTalk.com. For network management practices, visit StraightTalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Taxes and fees apply.
I have diabetes. I'm at risk for pneumococcal pneumonia.
I have asthma. I'm at risk, too.
If you're 19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, COPD, or heart disease, or are 65 or older, you are at increased risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Ask your doctor or pharmacist about Prevnar 20, pneumococcal 20-valent conjugate vaccine, a Pfizer vaccine that can help protect you against pneumococcal pneumonia in just one dose. Even if you've already been vaccinated with other pneumonia vaccines, Prevnar 20 may help provide added protection. Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Changing laws can't change our hearts, and hate won't leave unless we make it. This divide is real, and you might feel hopeless to overtake it. Our history's cold, and our future's unknown and incomplete. But we could fight today to make the pain of our past not repeat. Wherever you are, be that change you feel that you don't see enough of. Your household, friends, job, or school could grow through your life. We need tough love, need kindness and care, conversations to understand each other, patience for these wounds, and day by day actions to love our brothers. And it's through you to call out hatred, teach the weak, and shield the pain. No matter who you are, your life could shine a path and be change.
Brought to you by SPWorkLab.com.
Hey, we're back here on Spectrum. Got Caitlin Bowling with us. She's bereavement specialist for Everhart Hospice. Good to see you again. And so let's remind people, when is Camp Encourage this year?
Yes, thank you. So again, Camp Encourage is Everhart Hospice's two-day children's day camp for kids who have experienced some kind of significant loss in their life. And that's going to be happening July 19th and 20th. It's a Friday and a Saturday from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m.
All right. Now, I understand, too, that you could use some volunteers. And so I guess the first question is, can you tell us what kind of volunteers you're talking about?
Yes. So we have, positions, but we have these different roles, all different roles, especially working with the kids one-on-one or working more behind the scenes to help prepare for activities, food, things like that. Looking for a variety of different volunteers, different skill sets. And if that's something that you think you would be interested in, if you are free either or both of those days, you're more than welcome to reach out to us at bereavementservices@ehospice.org, or you can call us at 937-316-0005.
All right. Have you had a chance to do some Camp Encourages yourself? Been in some of them?
This will actually be my very first Camp Encourage.
Yeah,
yes.
I have heard over the years, sometimes you do get some great moments with some kids who say, well, I'm here because they made me come and I'm not talking to you. And then eventually, you do get them to open up and talk. And it's not like it's going to fix everything, but I really liked when you talked about the healthy, coping mechanisms because of how that can spill over, whether it's into school or things like that.
Yes. We want it to be an opportunity for kids to learn some different strategies or different ways that they can manage some of those emotions that might come up from how complicated grief is, but also be able to be around other kids who have experienced something similar. But we also want it to be a time for kids to just have fun. We are planning on doing a few different events and activities that are there simply just for the sake of, this is fun.
And probably some of it that you go over, and probably any, bereavement, session you might do with somebody, if you let them know that it is okay to have a good day, don't feel bad. People might think it's disrespectful to the person's memory that you're in a good mood today. And don't do that, they would understand.
You would be surprised how common that thinking is.
I've been there,
After someone passes away of thinking that it's somehow dishonoring to them. If I'm laughing now, I'm having fun, I feel guilty for laughing and having a good time.
It almost, and some of that also is everybody's use that has their own, kind of way of grieving or looking. But I've also said that, it is okay to take time out from the grief. Like, in other words, if there's a big game on or something, watch it. It's okay. Or that new movie that's out that you couldn't wait to see, go ahead and watch it. You can take a couple hours out from feeling bad. If you can convince yourself to do that, it's okay. Get away from it,
Yeah, and even something that I've sat with people and tried talking about before is the idea of dosing the grief that you are experiencing. So we think of maybe a dose of medication or just one small piece of it. And we allow ourselves to take this designated amount of time to really, truly feel our grief. And then we move away from it, either to watch that big game or a movie, allow ourselves to be away from that grief.
Yeah, just something like an escape, yeah. If you will. Like, you know, I'm going to put on a good movie or something. Mm-hmm. I'm going to, you know, whatever it takes, or put on even some music, you know.
Yes.
And that's another thing, too, what we call triggers, right? That sometimes, mm-hmm. you know, you hear where it was someone's favorite song. You know, you don't listen to that band for years,
yeah.
Right? It just shows you how powerful that can be, you know.
Mm-hmm. And those kind of triggers, those reminders can manifest in a million different ways. I've had people tell me about certain songs, bands, like you had said, smelling a certain perfume or cologne, things like that.
Yeah, but even when happy things occur, and then you think, gosh, he would have loved this, or she would have loved this, and you're right back at the beginning of that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can often think about what you had just said of those things that they may have enjoyed.
Or as time goes by, what's also interesting, sometimes a great-grandkid or something is born and you realize, oh, look at these characteristics in this kid, right? Oh. You know, that happens sometimes where you think, oh, that's crazy, but it happens, you know?
Yeah, that's something I...
You know, or the way they look or the way they act or something, you know, mm-hmm. you realize, oh, that's what Grandpa was like or something.
That's funny. I honestly haven't really considered or experienced that.
Or kids start to get named after, you know, I mean, things like that mm-hmm. happen, so. Awesome. Yeah. If people ever have any questions or want to know more, I'm sure they can email you, call you. I know Everhart's got social media too, right?
We have a Facebook page. We post on there pretty frequently of events coming up, as well as different opportunities and resources that we have, as well as fundraising events that we have in the community.
Yeah.
So.
And we enjoy talking about those when they come around to them. So, I want to thank you again for coming. We'll do it again sometime. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.